Pinocchio. In Italy, about 100 years ago, there lived a woodcarver named Geppetto. He was a very poor man and he lived on his own. Although Geppetto had friendly neighbours, he was lonely at heart and he wished he had a son. One day he had an idea. He decided to make himself a wooden puppet, a wonderful puppet that would know how to dance and fight and leap like an acrobat. With this puppet, Geppetto could travel the world. People everywhere would pay a lot to see them perform their tricks. But more important, it would be like a son to him and keep him company. Straight away, Geppetto chose a log from his woodpile, took his sharpest axe, and set to work. But just as he aimed his first blow, he heard a very small voice.
Oh, don't hit me too hard, please.
You can imagine how surprised the old man was. He looked at the log, he looked all round the room, he even opened the door and looked outside. But he could see no one. So he started again, just a little more carefully. All went well as Geppetto stripped off the bark, but when he took his plane to smooth and polish the wood, he heard the same little voice breaking out in giggles.
Stop it! Oh, stop it! You're tickling me!
And Geppetto dropped his plane as if he'd been struck by a bolt of lightning. The woodcarver sank into his rickety chair and stared blankly at the piece of wood. He stared and he stared until it seemed he'd been gazing for hours. He scratched his head and he rubbed his chin. He crossed his legs and drummed his fingers on the table. He puffed at his pipe. Then he knocked out the ash and grabbed the log again.
Well, this couldn't be better, he said to himself at last. Here I am making a puppet, and before I've even carved his head, he's talking. By the time I've finished him, he'll be able to walk and run and dance and sing.
So he chiseled away merrily. Geppetto whistled as he worked and thought up a name for his puppet.
I'll call him Pinocchio, he decided. It's a good name. It will bring him luck.
First Geppetto made the hair, then the forehead, then the eyes, and then the nose. It was there that things started going strangely wrong. The nose began to grow, and it grew and grew and grew. Poor Geppetto tired himself out chopping the nose down to size. As for the mouth, it started laughing at Geppetto before it was even finished, and then stuck out a tongue at him as far as it would go. Geppetto was alarmed, but he pretended not to notice. He pressed on with his work and fashioned the puppet's body and arms. Then no sooner had he cut out the hands than they pulled his moustache. Poor Geppetto felt more miserable than he'd ever felt in his life. What sort of a son was he making for himself?
You young scamp. You're not even finished, and already you're being rude to your father. That is bad, very bad.
And he wiped a tear from his eye. There was worse to come. As soon as Geppetto finished off the puppet's legs and feet, Pinocchio gave him a kick on the chin, sprang down to the floor, and ran out of the door and away along the street.
Stop him! Stop him!
Shouted Geppetto as he rushed after Pinocchio. But the people were so amazed to see a wooden puppet running down the street that they could hardly move for laughing. The local policeman had more sense. He stepped out into the street, and when the puppet tried to dash between his legs, he picked him up by his nose.
Good evening, young man.
Geppetto was grumbling furiously when he reached them. He seized Pinocchio by the neck and hauled him off down the road.
You just wait till we get home. I'll soon show you what happens to naughty boys.
Pinocchio wriggled free and threw himself to the ground, sobbing pathetically. Before Geppetto knew what was happening, all the people were calling to the policeman, "Protect the poor puppet or Geppetto will kill him!" And they set up such a storm of protest that Geppetto was arrested and locked up in the police station for the night. Well, Pinocchio was free as a bird, and he scampered off, dancing and leaping and clicking his heels together. He played for hours in the streets and the fields and only went back home when the sun was setting. He pushed the door open and threw himself down in Geppetto's old chair by the fireside. Outside, darkness was falling, and it was turning windy and cold. But Pinocchio sat grinning with pleasure. He was warm and cozy, and on the very first day of his life, he was his own master. But Pinocchio was not alone in the room. As he lay back in the chair and closed his eyes, he heard a rapid clicking noise, like the teeth of a comb being scraped on a table's edge.
there?
Said Pinocchio. It is I. Pinocchio turned round and saw a big insect crawling slowly along the wall. I am the talking cricket, and I have lived in this room for 100 years and more.
So what? It's my room now, so just buzz off and leave me alone.
I will not go until I have told you a great truth, replied the cricket. Boys who rebel against their parents never come to any good in the world, and sooner or later they will be bitterly sorry for what they have done.
This was the last thing Pinocchio wanted to hear.
Hold your tongue, you silly croaker! Go away!
But the cricket took no notice. Poor Pinocchio, I pity you. You really do have a wooden head. And what is more, you will come to a bad end.
At these words, Pinocchio lost his temper. He snatched Geppetto's mallet from the workbench and hurled it at the cricket. Maybe he didn't mean to hurt him, but the mallet hit the little creature right on the head, and he scarcely had time to cry out before he fell limply to the ground.
That shuts you up, said Pinocchio,
and he tried to go to sleep. It was the start of a miserable night for the wicked puppet. No sooner had Pinocchio closed his eyes than he began to feel hungry. So he looked around for something to eat. He hunted high and low, but he couldn't find a scrap of food. Just as he was giving up, he spotted an egg lying in a pile of wood shavings. He eagerly cracked it open over a pan, and a tiny chicken popped out, ruffled its feathers twice, and flew out of the window. Pinocchio was aching with hunger. He ran out into the empty streets and searched everywhere for food, but there was nothing to be found. In desperation, he rang on a neighbor's doorbell to beg for a meal. But a crotchety old man, angry at being disturbed in the middle of the night, poured a great basin of water all over him. Pinocchio slunk home like a drowned rat, so cold and exhausted that he flopped down in the chair with his feet in the hearth. For the rest of the night, he slept and snored. And all the time, his wooden feet were in the fire. Little by little, they burned away to cinders. By the morning, he couldn't even stand up.
Geppetto came back from the jail, fuming with anger. But when he saw poor Pinocchio crawling around on the floor, he felt very sorry for him and gave his son the 3 pears he'd bought for his own breakfast. Then he placed him gently on the workbench and lovingly carved him a new pair of feet. After they were finished, the old woodcarver cut out a special set of clothes for Pinocchio, a pair of short trousers, a colourful shirt of flowered paper, and a cap made from a crust of bread. Pinocchio was so relieved to be able to walk again and so excited with his new clothes that he leapt up from the workbench, threw his arms around Geppetto's neck and kissed him again and again. "Oh, please help me, Daddy," he sobbed, and he poured out the story of the cricket's warning. "Don't let me come to a bad end. I do want to be good." They hugged each other for a long time. Finally, Geppetto spoke through his tears. "If you really want to be a good boy, Pinocchio, you must go to school and work hard." "Oh, I will," cried Pinocchio. "I will, I promise I will."